Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You have your device, you have your Bible. Let's make our words work for us. Let's make our confession of faith. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Can you give God your best praise? Oh, your best praise. Amen, amen, amen. Well, open your Bible with me today to the book of James, James chapter 1. We're not going to put it on the screen yet. Let me lay a foundation. We're in a series called Do the Work. Now, you may not understand what that means. Let me tell you what we're going to talk about this whole month. We started last weekend on being a doer of the Word of God. Being a doer of the Word of God. Let's just say it. Can you say it with me? I am a doer of God's Word. So we're talking about being a doer of God's Word. Well, Pastor, where did you get the title, Do the Work? Well, I got that idea. Someone recommended to me to read a couple of books a couple of years ago, and I did. One was called Do the Work. Now, they're both secular, but they have biblical principles in them. One was called, if you're a business leader, you need to get these books. Here's a good resource for our marketplace ministry. Do the Work. And it's all about stop procrastinating, stop putting it off, step out and take action and do the work. Do the work it's going to take for you to be a success in life and a high achiever. That was a great book, and that was the thesis of that book. But I really like the second book better, and it's called Deep Work. Deep Work. If you're an entrepreneur, if you have a business, if you're a leader, these are great resources for the marketplace. It's called Deep Work, and it's all about focus and concentration on one thing. You know, we pride ourselves in this age that we live in, and we say we're multitaskers and we do several things at one time. Well, they tell us, scientists and doctors will tell you, you really can't do two or three things at the same time and do them well and do them to your potential and peak performance. Your mind is set to concentrate on one thing, give it your all, one thing, and do it well. So that Deep Work book is all about focus and concentration. Find the one thing you're good at. Give your life to it, whole hog, all the way. So that's kind of where I got the big idea, because I thought, same thing, you and I, God has given us this wonderful tool called the Bible, right, church? It's a wonderful tool, isn't it? And if you were with me last weekend, I gave you an illustration, a story of Stephen, my son, a couple years ago, maybe not quite that long, he gave me this new tool called an echo. Little tower, and he said, Dad, you'll love it. He goes, because, you know, you like music, and you can sync it, and you can do other devices, and you can go into a room and talk to it, and it'll obey. Well, that's better than some people, right? And so he said, you could do that. And so I said, great, wonderful. So he left, and guess what? I never found out, really, to this day, I haven't even played it, because I haven't found out how to make it work. Okay. Well, it's like that with the Bible. You know, a lot of people, they realize this is a tool from God, but they don't know how to make it work. So my goal, because if you don't know how to make this work, you'll never have the blessed life. The misfortune, the consequence, the bad thing that happens if we don't know how to study the Bible, interpret the Bible, aren't big on the Bible, aren't big on the book, can't make it work for us, don't know how to turn it on, don't know how to apply it and make it work, we will miss out on the blessed life. I don't want anybody that I pastor, and by the way, I love you big time today, I want you to have the blessed life. Amen. Now, I want to give you another story today. You know, God is a good God, right? And the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Well, I also see the Bible as the greatest gift outside eternal life a Christian can have. You know, the greatest gift God has given to us is His Son, right, for eternal life. That's a wonderful, that's the greatest gift that God could give us. But for a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, a Christ follower, one who wants to have the word view and not the world view, a biblical view, a Christian, the greatest gift God has given to you and me is the Bible. Did you know that? You know, the Bible is a greater gift than any other gift God could give to us other than eternal life. And so I was thinking, you know, this happened years ago, probably about 25 years ago. And, you know, I got this little thing. We all collect stuff. Don't say you don't because you do. Y'all collect something. And, you know, I like watches. Not necessarily expensive watches, but antique vintage watches. You know, for this Christmas, you know, my family got me an old Seiko watch off of eBay from 1973. You know, how cool is that? You know, I like that. And that addiction started when I was just a little kid, and I had a paper route, and when I'd save my money from my paper route, pay my tithe, and get my beef jerky and Mountain Dew at the local drugstore, then I would save it up, you know, to buy a watch. I fell in love with watches when I was just a little kid. I'd get those watches with Roy Rogers. Come on. Hopalong Cassidy. Batman. Superman. You know, the faces on that. You know, so I've always had this thing for watches, and so a few years ago, really a couple decades ago, I had saved up for years, and there was this watch that I wanted, and I'd saved it for years. I bought this watch, and it was an expensive watch. It was a Breitling, if you know what watches are, and I paid a lot of money for it. And then I decided, you know, I was going to give it as a gift. I just felt led to give it to a minister friend of mine. So I wrapped it up, and I made it special because it was special to me. I mean, I had saved for years. I had worked for years. I had pictures of it all over the house, and I wanted this Breitling watch, and I did all that. And so I put it all, I got it all really nice, and then I went to give it to my friend, and he just looked at it and said, oh, thanks, and took it. Well, that's okay, but he didn't get excited about the gift that I gave him. And then I found out later he never even wore it, that he gave it away to one of his friends. Now, you know, I never said anything to him to this day because, you know, don't need to. But you know what? That gift meant a lot to me. And I gave it to him. And guess what? He didn't appreciate that gift or value that gift, it looks like, didn't even wear it, and then gave it away. It actually really offended me. It broke my heart. It really did. It upset me. It broke my heart. And I got to thinking about the series this month on helping you and people like you and those online how to get the most out of this tool called the Bible. You know, God has given us this gift, but if we never open it, if we never wear it, if we never do it, if we never apply it, I kind of think it breaks His heart. You say, Pastor, big deal, Bible. Yeah, you need to be big on the book because the Bible itself says it's more precious than a watch. It's more precious than gold, than silver. The Bible is more precious than rubies and diamonds and sapphires and emeralds. It says that it's the most precious gift we've been given outside eternal life. So I think we don't want to break the heart of God. We don't want to leave it on the coffee table. By the lamp on the bed, next to the bed. We don't want to leave it in the back of the car. No. You and I, we want to know how to work it. We want to know how to turn it on, make it work, and get the results and live a blessed life. If we don't, we won't enjoy the abundant, blessed life. Are you with me, church? So we're looking at then how to be a doer of God's word. How do you apply it? How do you get the most out of it? How do you get the word to work for you? So with that in mind, let's go to James chapter 1. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this passage again. We looked at it last week, but I'm going to read it from another translation. Because, you know, Scripture interprets Scripture, right? You know, if you weren't with us, let me give you four questions right off the bat on how to get the word to work for you. How to apply what you hear. Because we're not blessed in hearing it. We're not blessed in even knowing it. We're only blessed in doing it, applying it immediately. And here's what I know. Successful people, when they find a truth, they apply it immediately. When my friends recommend a book to me, I go get it immediately. I go get it immediately because I honor and reverence their wisdom. So let's look at this. Number one, the first thing to get the word working for us, we ask ourselves the question, where is there a promise in the Bible that covers this problem I'm dealing with? Where is there a promise in the Bible that covers this problem I'm dealing with? Because one of the ways that you act on the word is respond with the word. Are you with me? So when things happen, we shouldn't respond with cursing, cussing, angry, lose control. We should respond with, what does the word say? Right? Well, I'm facing this problem this week, Pastor, you know, with my children or my ex or going to court or going to go to the doctor or dealing with a neighbor or my job or whatever. You want to find a promise in the Bible that covers that problem, and you want to respond with the word. You want to respond with the word. And by the way, the first corresponding action of being a doer of the word is your confession. The very first corresponding action of being a doer of the word is speaking the word. That's the first action of a doer of the word. You take the word, you take the promise, you put it in your mouth, and you start talking it. Am I helping anybody today? All right, so you ask yourself the question, where is the promise in the Bible that covers my problem? Then number two, what is the scripture saying? What is it really saying? Now, I'm going to model to you how to study the Bible, interpret the Bible, be big on the book, and how to live the abundant life and be a doer of God's word by showing you, I show you every week, I give you different translations and paraphrases. Am I right? And then I'll point out different words. I do that on purpose because you'll find out what that scripture says by looking at different translations and different paraphrases in language of today. And then you'll begin to understand what it's saying to you. But you also want to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Not my husband, not my wife, not somebody else, but what are you saying to me through the scripture today at church? Are you with me? And then number three, the third question on how to be a doer of the word. Now, most people don't know how to do this, family. Most Christians don't. Most Christians are not doers of the word. That's why they don't live the blessed life. Okay? So the third thing is you ask yourself, what does the scripture mean? What does the scripture mean? And here's what I know. I'll run across scriptures that I don't know what they mean. How about you? I'll run across scriptures that I don't know what they mean. So here's what they taught me in college. Scripture interprets scripture. So when I read a scripture, I don't know what it means. I don't ask a sinner to interpret it. If I read a scripture and I don't know what it means, I don't ask a backslidden Christian to interpret it for me. When I read a scripture and I don't know what it means, I don't ask a talk show host. I don't ask a carnal Christian what it means. What I do is I keep reading the Bible, and eventually there'll be a scripture that will interpret that scripture and let me know what it means. Are you with me? So you're going to see that today as we look at this again, we break it down. I'm doing expository teaching. That's where you go verse by verse and you pull out a principle that you can apply in your life. And the first corresponding action of being a doer, say, I'm a doer. The first corresponding action is your confession, is your speaking. Wow. What does the Bible say? You believe in your heart, and the first thing you do is confess with your heart. What's the Bible say? If you're a believer, the first act, the first corresponding action, the first sign, signal, characteristic of a believer is your confession. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. So that's why I know most Christians aren't doers of the word, because most Christians don't talk the word. Now, I'm not getting down on anybody. I'm here to help everybody. Yeah, I'm here to help people and get the most out of this tool, find out how to turn it on, do better than me, and then also appreciate the gift that God's given to us and start wearing it, start living it out, start enjoying the abundant life. Most Christians aren't doers. Oh, they'll come to church and sit once a month or twice a month, but hearing is not enough. Knowing is not enough. It's in doing that we live the blessed life. And the first action of being a doer is we talk the word and not the problem. We talk the word and not how we feel. We talk the word and not our circumstances. We talk the word and not what other people are saying. Can I have a witness in the house? And that's what y'all do around here. Amen. Say it with me. I talk the word. Amen. Okay, so you ready to begin? Okay, let's find out how to do this. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and naughtiness and receive with meekness the planted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, I like that, which is able to save your souls, is talking about the Bible, if we can get it planted. Now, it's got to get planted. It's got to get planted, because you can't get a corn crop if you don't get the seed in the ground. Well, we can't get a harvest on what the Bible says we can have, do, and be until we get it in our spirit, right? So hearing is part of the process, but it's not enough. Knowing is part of the process, but it's not enough, right? I got to be a doer of God's word. And notice that if we receive the word and it gets planted in our spirit, it brings transformation. It brings change. To save our soul means it brings improvement and it brings change. Say it with me. I am improving every day because I am planting the word of God in my spirit every day. Oh, y'all sound so good today. All right. Next verse, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. What this is saying is if I hear the word and I don't do it, nothing's going to change. If I hear the word and I think that's enough, I'm living a myth. I'm living in deception, because hearing is not enough to improve my life. Hearing the Bible does not change my life. Part of the process, step one, but not enough. So it goes on to say, verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're like a person beholding your natural face in a glass. What does the word glass mean, class? Mirror. So the word of God is the symbol, is like a mirror. What do you do when you go to the mirror? Watch this now. You do it on purpose. So every time I come to church, I should come on purpose expecting to see something in the Bible, pastor's teaching. And every time I look into the mirror, what am I doing? I'm improving, hopefully. I'm moving and I'm arranging, hopefully. So what is this saying? Every time you and I read the Bible, study the Bible, quote the Bible, speak the Bible, act on the Word of God, every time we come to church and hear it taught, you should come with purpose in mind. God is going to talk to me today through the teaching. And God is going to say something to me through the Word of God. God, I come on purpose. What are you going to say to me on this Sunday, Palm Sunday? And whatever you say, God, I will do it. And God, it will improve my life. I'll leave this place better than I came. So y'all see how that works? Next verse, verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, but he forgets what kind of manner of man that he was supposed to be. What is that? Didn't do it intentionally, didn't do it on purpose. You have to look in the Bible with intention, on purpose, concentration, deep work. It goes on to say, verse 25, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, what's the perfect law of liberty, class? It's the Bible. When you look into, now that word look does not mean glance. That word look there in the Greek does not mean glance. It means you focus on. You look into intently. You're expecting when you read the Bible to God to say something to you, reveal to you what it means and how you can apply it immediately. How you apply it immediately is you put it in your mouth and you start meditating on it. That's how you do it immediately. Whoso looks to the perfect law of liberty and you continue therein. So Sunday's not enough, right, church? Yeah, got to do it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Used to be a singer back in the Jesus People movement back in the 70s. Her name was Nancy Honeytree. She was awesome. As I was a youth pastor, you know, our youth group, we would follow her. And she had a song and she'd say, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? You know, she'd have on the bell bottoms and, you know, and the beads and the long hair and the Jesus People thing from California. She was cool. And I still remember that song, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday, she'd say. What was she doing? She's saying most Christians are Christians on Sunday. Okay. All right. Whoso looketh to the perfect law of liberty and continue thereof, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the... Notice, family, it doesn't say word. It says work. Boy, it's work to be a victorious Christian. It's work fighting for your family. This good fight of faith, it's work, isn't it, church? It's work. I mean, you got to work the word. I mean, you got to work the word. And when you know how to work the word will work for you. Now, if you don't even care about it, you're going to struggle through life, barely get by, up and down, wonder why, questioning God, questioning the church. But if you know how to work the word, be a doer of the word, the Bible says you will live a blessed life. Wow. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed. This woman will be blessed in their what? What is a deed? A deed is an action, right? It's an action. Now, let's go back to the very beginning of the verse, the very, very first verse we looked at, verse 21. And let's look at the Kenneth Wiest translation. Now, let me introduce that to you, those online, those that are here. The Kenneth Wiest translation is the closest to the original Greek language you can get. And the New Testament was written in Greek, right? So I'm giving you now the closest to the original transcript of what this passage really says. Now, why am I doing that? I'm showing you how to find out what it's saying to you and me today. Because remember, you want to know, what does it say? What does it mean? What does it pertain to, and how can I apply it? You apply it immediately by putting it in your mouth and speaking the word. All right? Y'all ready? Wherefore, having put away every moral uncleanness. Wow. Remember we said we got to get rid of, Now, you say moral uncleanness. What is uncleanness? It's homosexuality. It's lesbianism. It's incest. It's bestiality. It's any unclean thing. Thought, word, deed, unclean. Pornography, it's unclean. And notice, this is the original Greek language. Now, don't anybody get, you know, don't get into condemnation because this is written to Christians, right? Isn't this the book of James? Wasn't he the half-brother of Jesus? And he's now the pastor of Jerusalem, the church of Jerusalem. Runs 35,000 people, this church, okay? God believes in big churches, 35,000 members. James, the half-brother of Jesus, is the pastor. This is written to Christians. Do Christians watch pornography? You better bet they do. You know, you look at the latest survey of Christian men and their addiction to pornography, it'll blow your mind. And other kinds of addictions, and I thank God that we at Church on the Rock, we aren't perfect, and we're on our way, but we have Celebrate Recovery to help people get free, because you can find freedom at Church on the Rock. You're not going to be judged. You're not going to be condemned. You're not going to be put down. Come on, I'm the pastor, and that's what I say, and that's what goes. You will not be judged, condemned, or put down. Come on, somebody. When people are put down and criticized and made to feel bad, they don't feel safe. And if people don't feel safe, they won't open their heart. And if people don't open their heart, they can't change. Come on, somebody. All right? So notice he's talking to Christians. So if I want to see from the Word, hear from the Word, apply the word and live the blessed life, then I've got to, as a Christian, every day have constant cleansing. When I was in college, one of our professors said, you got to get into the shower of 1 John 1:9 every day. The shower of 1 John 1:9 every day. 1 John 1:9 was written to Christians, not sinners. And it says, if we confess our sin, Christian sin, by the way. Boy, y'all looking at me like, come on, I don't see no wings out there today. Online campus, y'all with me? You're with me, right? Online campus, amen. Christians do sin. We do miss the mark. We don't want to. That's why Christians need constant cleansing every day. Every day of my life, I go before the Lord. For 50 years, God, I confess any sin knowingly or unknowingly. I repent, God. I don't want anything in my life, God, holding you back from giving me the blessed life. Christians need continual cleansing every day of your life. This verse tells us that. Because if I don't, I'm going to clog up the channel and I won't receive. I don't get nothing from the Bible. Wonder why. So it says, get rid of, and this is the original Greek language, Kenneth E. Wiest. It says, get rid of uncleanness and vulgarity. Vulgarity. Those nasty jokes around the water cooler won't give me an abundant life. Those shady jokes, those sarcastic jokes, those giving into vulgarity, the cussing and the cursing and the nastiness and the naughtiness. Now don't anybody look at me because I didn't say it. This is the original Greek language. But it's pretty blunt, isn't it? Now, none of us have arrived. Oh, I have, Pastor. Well, let's just cut you off in the parking lot and see how you do on the way out. Let's see if you speak in tongues on the way out, praise God. Come on, none of us have arrived. Come on, church. We're growing. We're learning. We're getting better. We're looking into the mirror of God's word on purpose to see what God's saying to us and then make the change in our life. Our marriage is improving. Our parenting is improving. See, I am a doer of God's word, and my life is improving. Okay? So he says here that get rid of vulgarity and wickedness. In meekness, receive the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. It'll bring change. Verse 22. Moreover, keep on becoming doers of the word. So it's a process, right, church? You don't ever stop. Keep on becoming. Every time, if you're a note taker, every time we choose to be a doer of God's word, number one, it builds our character. It builds our character. God promotes character, not looks. God promotes character. Remember, man looks at the outside, God looks at the inside. God does not promote color or lack of color or no color. God does not promote appearance or charisma or personality. God promotes character. And my character is a result of my choices. My character is a result of my choices. Want a better character? Make better choices. Am I helping anybody today? So every time you and I choose to be a doer of the word, number one, it builds our character. It builds our character. Number two, it brings change in me. It brings change in you. And I'm all about changing. How about you? I'm all about improving and getting better and living the blessed life. And number three, every time you and I decide to be a doer of God's word, it brings us closer to God. Character, change, and closer. All right? So he says, reasoning among yourselves the false premise and deceiving yourself. Next verse, verse 23. Because as the case, anybody who's a hearer of the word, not a doer, they're like a person considering in a mirror the face in which they were born. Verse 24. For they look at themselves and off they go, and immediately they forget what kind of person they were. They weren't purpose-driven. They didn't do it intentionally, and they didn't do it on purpose, looking into the word of God. Verse 25, but he or she who with eagerness, everyone say eagerness. I want to give you a new thought, a new principle on how to get the word, this tool, this gift to work for you so we don't break the heart of God like that friend broke my heart with the gift I gave him, didn't even wear it. All right? So how do you do that? With eagerness. So here's how you get the Bible to open up to you: with expectation. Every time you and I come to church, we should expect, we should be eager, on the edge of our seat, ready to take notes, listen, follow along, to God to speak to us through His Word. Because if you don't expect to get anything from the Word, you won't. You've got to be eager, you've got to be excited, you've got to be enthusiastic, and you've got to have great expectation to get that book to work for you. Kenneth E. Hagin, who's now in heaven, he said, "The only Bible that's working for you is the portions you're excited about." That's huge. That's huge. You ever share your revelation with somebody and they yawn? What does that mean? It ain't working for them. It's not working for them, but it's working for you. Only the scripture that excites you do you have revelation. Only the scripture that excites you and motivates you do you have a reality, a revelation of. And that's what's working in your life. So it says, with eagerness and concentration, you pored over, you looked intently to the perfect law of liberty. What is that? The Bible. Not having been a hearer who forgets, but a doer who works, this person will what? Prosper spiritually in your doing. Isn't that awesome? You will prosper spiritually if you know how to work the Word. If you know how to be a doer of God's Word, if you know how to apply it immediately before you get in your car and leave in the rain today, or you go on and do something else wherever you're at all over the world at home. And what's going to happen? You will prosper spiritually. Well, Pastor, that's cool, but I need to prosper physically and financially and relationally. Well, let's get the horse before the cart. If you prosper spiritually, it will overflow physically, mentally, socially, and financially, right? If you have favor with God, then God will give you favor with man. If you make God happy, God will see to it that you're successful in life. Am I making sense? So what does it say? If you know how to use this tool as the team comes out, if you know how to work the Word, if you know how to be a doer of the Word, if you ask yourself those four questions, if as soon as the book is open, you're eager, you're enthusiastic, you're awake, you're alert, you're following along, you're expecting God to say something to you, you put it in your mouth immediately, you'll live the blessed life, and you'll prosper spiritually. Come on, give the Lord a good praise. I'm done. Amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.